So we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God. And we will read verses 28 and 29. This is 29 on the board. Dwariyetayo nivivishur mishator aprishtva. Yata purata vajra kapatikaya sarvatra te vishamaya munaya svadrishtya ye sancharantya vihata vigata vishanka Varietayo nivivishur mishatora prishtva. Purva yata purata vajra kapatikaya. Sarvatra te vishamaya munaya svadrishtya. Ye sancharantya vihata vigata vishanka. Dwariyetayo nivivishur mishator aprishtva. Purva yata purata vajra kapatikaya. Sarvatra te vishamaya munaya svadrishtya. Ye sancharantya vihata vigata vishanka. Dware. In the door. Etayo, both doorkeepers, Nivivisho, entered, Mishato, while seeing, Aprishtva, without asking, Purva, as before, Yata, as, Purata, made of gold, Vajra, and diamond, Kapatika, the doors, Ya, which, Sarvatra, everywhere, Te, they, Avishamaya, without any sense of discrimination. Munaya, the great sages, Swadrishtya, out of their own will. Yea, who? Sancharanti, move, Avihata, without being checked. Vigata, without. Abhishanka, doubt. Translation. The great sages, headed by Sanaka, had opened doors everywhere. They had no idea of ours and theirs. With open minds, they entered the seventh door out of their own will, just as they had passed through the six other doors, which were made of gold and diamonds. So we are to read the other verse, the previous verse 28, so let's just read that. It has very short purport. And then we'll read the purport of this verse. Mata, mata dvirepa vanamalikaya nivito, vinyasta yasita chatushtaya bahu madye, vaktram bruva kutilayas putanir gamabhyam, raktik shanena chamana grabasam dadha now. Translation. The two doormen were garlanded with fresh flowers, which attracted intoxicated bees, and which are placed around their necks and between their four blue arms. From their arched eyebrows, discontented nostrils, and reddish eyes, they appeared somewhat agitated. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Their garlands attracted swarms of bees, because they were garlands of fresh flowers. In the Vaikuntha world, everything is fresh, new, and transcendental. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha have bodies of bluish color and four hands like Narayana. So that was 28, and now this verse 29. Translation again. The great sages, headed by Sanaka, had opened doors everywhere. They had no idea of ours and theirs. With open minds, they entered the seventh door out of their own will, just as they had passed through the six other doors, which were made of gold and diamonds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sages, namely Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar, although very old in years, maintained themselves eternally as small children. They were not at all duplicitous, and they entered the doors exactly as little children enter places without any idea of what it is to trespass. That is a child's nature. A child can enter any place, and no one checks him. Indeed, a child is generally welcome in his attempts to go places. But if it so happens that a child is checked from entering a door, he naturally becomes very sorry and angry. That is the nature of a child. In this case, the same thing happened. The childlike, saintly personalities entered all the six doors of the palace, and no one checked them. Therefore, when they attempted to enter the seventh door and were forbidden by the doormen who checked them with their sticks, they naturally became very angry and sorrowful. An ordinary child would cry, but because these were not ordinary children, they immediately made preparations to punish the doorman, for the doorman had committed a great offense. Even to this day, a saintly person is never checked from entering anyone's door in India. Omigyanata Manandasya, Gyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshuramilatam Yena Tasmai, Sri Gurudeva Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Manobishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupika Dharmayam Tadati Swapadatikam, Vanchakapaturibhyas Jai Kripa, Sindhu Bhyeva Cha, Paditanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Shivasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the four Kumars are entering Vaikuntha in part of this extremely well-known incident from Srimad Bhagavatam and very significant incident in so many ways. So in the first verse, 28, they see the doormen, who are looking very, generally very wonderful. They are the same transcendental color as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their bodies are Satchit Ananda. So, compared to material bodies, certainly they look very wonderful, very different, and very wonderful. But of course, there is another side also, that even though they have these spiritual bodies and all these beautiful transcendental features, but still, for some reason, there's some type of material consciousness there, apparently. They look angry, disturbed. And that type of anger, that type of disturbance in the Vaikuntha realm is simply conspicuous by its absence. There is no type of aggression in Vaikuntha. Everyone is very happy, whatever anybody else does, because everyone is completely on the platform of pure loving devotional service, and therefore whatever anyone does, it is always wonderful and joyful, and everyone is happy with it. But here, these two doormen, somehow they are not happy, and in a very pointed type of way, they are not happy, they appear disturbed. Srila Prabhupada makes the point about Krishna himself and his pastimes in the spiritual world, that Krishna, of course, sometimes he is very naughty. Sometimes he steals the butter. And sometimes he does other things which at least the material parallel or perverted reflection within this world is not so good, and people get disturbed when in the material world when people steal and things like this. But when Krishna, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that in his pastimes, when Krishna is good, he is good. And when Krishna is bad, he is good. And everyone is simply happy. And no one is actually getting disturbed and agitated as people do in this material world. Even that stealing of butter, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that it is not simply that Krishna has a particular thing about butter, but really the situation is that the cows who offer their milk, which is then made into yogurt and then made into butter, the cows, in their minds, in their hearts, they're simply wanting that Krishna gets the butter. That's all they want. And the ladies who then make it into yogurt and then make it into butter, their idea is the same. They simply want Krishna to get that butter. And as they are churning the yogurt and making the butter, then they're simply meditating on this and just deeply absorbed. And that love and affection for Krishna, and that mood of wanting the butter to go to Krishna, it goes into the butter. So like this there, butter is saturated with their loving devotion for Krishna. And Krishna, of course, he wants to taste that love, not just the butter. not just the butter. He wants to taste that love. That is his business. His only business really is tasting and exchanging love with the devotees. However, in terms of the pastimes and how they go on under the Lila Shakti, in the minds of the husbands, there is the idea that this butter is for us. They're our cows. Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Sri Gaunatayi Ki. So, in terms of the pastime, under the influence of Yoga Maya, in terms of the pastime, they're thinking, these are our cows. This is our milk. So it's our butter. It should be for us. Of course, not that there's something wrong with them and they are opposed to Krishna enjoying whatever he wants to enjoy, but in terms of the pastime, they're feeling like this. So because they're feeling that we should have this butter, it is our butter, and they're not just feeling, let us just give it to Krishna as he likes, so Krishna has to steal the butter. This is why he has to steal the butter. Because he wants to taste the love, but because of the family situation, which is apparently there, he cannot just go and ask for it, he has to steal it. So he steals that butter on and on, more and more and more, and just unlimitedly, just to taste that love. So much love which has gone into the butter from the cows and from the ladies. And he's relishing that. So of course the ladies, they would like to give Krishna the butter, because this is their idea, it's for Krishna. But they know because of their husbands they can't just give it. So anyway, Krishna steals it. And in order to avoid having the ladies get into trouble for giving him the butter, he steals it. And when the husbands come back in the evening and say, where's the butter? Then the wives can say, well, would you believe it? Krishna came again today. He stole the butter again. And the husbands say, oh no. And the wives, they also say, oh yes, it's terrible. But actually they're very happy. Because it's just an exchange. It's an exchange of love. It is not really that Krishna just wants to eat something, whatever it may be. He wants the love. So when Krishna is good, he's good. When Krishna is bad, he's good. Everything is simply ecstasy. That's all. There's nothing else. So when someone becomes agitated, like these doorkeepers, and it was apparent, this is not a transcendental mood, really. This is some sort of material, disturbed state of mind which is there. So that, of course, that's a very significant and extraordinary thing. Otherwise in the spiritual world, everything is simply ecstasy, as Lord Brahma says in Brahma Samhita. Shri Akanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Tarabho Druma Bhumis Chintamani Gana Maitoyam Amritam. That there, of course he's talking about Goloka Vrindavan. In Goloka Vrindavan, all the talking is like singing, the walking is like dancing, and all the water tastes like nectar. And Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on Brahma Samhita, expands a little bit on this theme with the point that every step is like dancing. Not just any dancing. I don't know who was our best dancer in Kirtan, in ISKCON, Ujjain, but whoever it is, when he is dancing just to the maximum degree, and everything is just totally ecstatic as far as we have experience of ecstasy. So the point made is that that best dancing here is like the ordinary walking there. When they're just walking down the street, that is like our best dancing. So the point is made, if their ordinary walking is like our best dancing, what is it like when they dance? And then, every word is like a song. Again, I don't know who is our best singer in ISKCON, Ujjain. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. So that's another thing. But under normal circumstances, in your normal ISKCON temple, anywhere else, when the best singer is singing his best, and it is just wonderful. So the point there is that this is like their ordinary talking. When they're just saying, hello, how are you, and these ordinary things in Goloka Vrindavan, this is like our best singing normally, except for Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And so the point is, what is it like when they sing? What is it like when they sing? We have no experience of that. And then all the water tastes like nectar. Again, I don't know who is the best cook in ISKCON, Ujjain, but whoever that may be, oh, maybe it's Bhakti Charu Maharaj also. So that's another thing. But under normal circumstances, in your average ISKCON temple, when the best cook makes just the best nectar, just so wonderful, it is like the ordinary water in Goloka. Yes. Just turn on the tap. I don't know if they have taps there, but somehow access the water, and oh, it's just astounding. So again, the point is raised in terms of Jiva Goswami's commentary, that if their ordinary water is like our best nectar, what is their nectar like? We have no experience of these things on those types of levels. And therefore, the point is made, because we have no experience of what these things are like, when they're like that. Therefore, many people, they don't want to go there. It's just like, it means they cannot capture an idea of what it may be like. And so therefore, people don't want to go there. You know, they would rather go to, at least in India, as far as I've heard, to America. And this is, in many people's minds, it is a big thing. Let me go to America and it will just be something truly wonderful. Yes, so there in the spiritual world, everything is fresh. They had a fresh garland, they had fresh garlands on. But there the garlands are always fresh. That is the normal standard. The normal standard is everything is always fresh. The normal standard is everyone is beautiful, eternally. No, at best, someone may be somewhat attractive through their sort of late teens or 20s or whatever it may be. But even the most beautiful person by material standards, by the time they reach 40 or 50, then it's over. And by the time they're 60 or 70, they just look like, you know, somewhat dilapidated has-beens or something like that. It's like that in this material world. Kala Kanta Prabhu is saying, except for Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Anyway, but that's another thing, as you said. So, but that is the normal thing. It is not normal when you consider reality, the totality. It is not normal that if you have a beautiful, fresh flower garland, that after 2, 3, 4 days, 1 week, it will look all just finished. No, it just remains beautiful. That beauty is eternal. Everyone is very handsome or beautiful and so on. It is eternal. All these things are eternal. So this is the spiritual world. And if one sees there some sort of symptoms and this sort of condition of a person where they're actually materially agitated and disturbed and they're just going to sort of blow a fuse or something like that, then there's no place for that. There's no place for that. It is not there in the spiritual world. So how is it there? Anyway, that is going to all unfold as the narration develops. But then in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is focusing on the point that the four commands, they outwardly, they keep themselves. They keep themselves due to their mystical powers or whatever, even though they have been in the material world. This is where they're coming from the material world. But somehow, they keep themselves physically as children, although their consciousness, at least in certain very important respects, is not just the consciousness of a child. They're sages, they're very deep and philosophically minded. But at the same time, there's another side to their characters, and there is some sort of childishness, apparent childishness, as Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here. Just like a child doesn't think, can I go into this house? Or even so many children, they see something in a supermarket, perhaps some sweets, and they just think, oh, looks nice, just pick it up. And the parents may have to then put it back. So things like this happen. This is the childish nature. And there's not so much, at least often there is not so much idea, this is mine, that is yours, and it is not mine, so therefore I must respect that, and things like this. Recently, some months ago, maybe a year ago, I was sitting in an aeroplane in South Africa. We were waiting to take off, and immediately in front of me was a young mother in her whatever 20s or around 30 perhaps, with her child, a young boy who was perhaps 3 or something like that. So the boy was sitting by the window. They're immediately in front of me. And the boy's looking out the window. There are other planes sitting there also waiting. And next to us was a red plane. The boys, looking out the window, said, "Mama, I want to go on the red plane." And his mother said, "No, no, no, we're going on this plane." "Mama, I want to go on the red plane." "Now look, you can go on the red plane some other time. We're going on this one." "Mama, I want to go on the red plane." And within a matter of seconds, it was a crisis. It was a real crisis. And this child was screaming and kicking. So why not the red plane? "Yes, of course, just go on any plane." This is the childish mentality in certain respects. Yeah. The four commands, in certain respects, they had that type of mood that we can just go anywhere. It is just part of reality. They had not really become devotees. They're just in the process at some point, in the process here, which is going to really, you know, become solid when the Lord appears on the scene. So up to this point, certainly they had not really been devotees as such. They were Brahmavadis, actually. Not Mayavadis, but Brahmavadis, on the impersonal side, but in the sense of just that the greater spiritual reality and being without the material sense of you and me and mine and yours and the social considerations of not infringing on others' properties and rights and so on. Without those things, so there was this mood of innocence about them. And when they were stopped, then they became disturbed. As Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, it was not just the disturbance of a child. Now, sometimes we see in India, it's, you know, a related phenomenon. These poor cows are walking in the streets and, you know, eating whatever. But sometimes they come to the vegetable wallow's stand. And there is some nice vegetables, some cauliflower and cabbage and different things which look very nice to the cow. And the cow just walks over. And the cow does not ask how much, or would you give me one? The cow just walks over and tries to start eating until chased away. And I've observed these situations. And sometimes when the cow is being chased away, the cow has this look of surprise on her face. What's going on? Yeah. So it's the same type of innocence that everything is just there, just because it's there, and not because it's mine or yours or there are any considerations in these terms. So children are like that also. Anyway, I'm sure we've all had many experiences with children taking things from each other, and then when they've taken, stolen, feeling, you know, you can't take it back. What do you think you're doing, taking it back? So this is childish mentality. The four commands were not exactly like that. As Prabhupada points out here, they understood, this is actually an offense. You're not meant to stop people. You're not meant to stop us. You're not meant to stop anybody in this situation. Why are you like this? So the four commands, they're going to respond considering things in terms of aparad and what should be done if there is aparad, perhaps to teach the person a lesson. So, interesting type of consciousness. And of course, in a number of verses, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear on the scene and settle the situation after some discussion and pacifying particularly the four commands and glorifying the four commands and accepting responsibility as the master of the offenders and the person who is responsible for the offenders, accepting even responsibility himself for the offenses, the offense of Jayanvijaya. So the Lord glorifies the four commands, chastises Jayanvijaya, and of course modifies the curse to some degree. Just three births as demons, not just go to the material world and just be demons and just that's it. So Srila Jiva Goswami in Preeti Sandava discusses this incident, and he raises the question, who was the Lord more affectionate to? Who did he care for more? Who did he love more? Was it the four commands, who he's glorifying and feeling so bad they were offended? Or was it Jayanvijaya, who are the offenders? So Srila Jiva Goswami discusses this interesting question, and he comes to the conclusion that actually the Lord had higher, more feeling for Jayanvijaya and more affection for them. And you could say he cared more that actually they are corrected in the most possible, appropriate ways possible. In the sense that the Lord could see these four commands. They're not as advanced. If I chastise them for cursing, because after all, cursing is generally not recommended for devotees to do. If I chastise them for cursing, they may not be able to digest it, and so it may become an obstacle for their further progress. But Jayanvijaya, because they are devotees, so if they're chastised in this way, they will accept it for their purification, and it will actually help them progress. So therefore the Lord was stronger with Jayanvijaya and sort of transcendentally diplomatic with the four commands. So, like this pastime, very important pastime, is unfolding here, and the four commands are about to curse Jayanvijaya. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Maharajas? Jutakama Prabhu?
Maharaj, Jayanvijaya is described as doorkeepers or dwarapalas. What is their duty then? Is it to...
It's largely ceremonial. They're kshatriyas. You know, this is their sort of transcendental disposition. But how are they going to be kshatriyas up there? You know, who is there to do your kshatriya thing on in Vaikuntha. Everybody's nice. So therefore they're on the door. But it happens occasionally. Someone sneaks through. You know, like Devasamuni didn't bribe Lord Shiva, but he spoke to him diplomatically and got him to allow him to go through, whereas actually he shouldn't have. He should have stopped him. Lord Shiva should have stopped him. And so he entered Vaikuntha. But otherwise, you know, it's largely a ceremonial function, sort of like a constitutional monarchy or something like that.
Kind of like, I was at the restaurant in Mumbai, it's not the head of government, you just open the door for whoever comes.
Right. Yeah, they're mainly to open the doors. Maharaj.
Sometimes it happened, according to this pastime, that
Lord Narayan called the doorkeepers, don't let anyone in. And then the guy's fortune tried to give them, it's not her.
Yes, you get things happening sometimes. It's a touchy position, actually. Anything to do with security is always touchy.
Especially when you keep out
Lakshmi Devi. Srila Prabhupada ki.